Thank you, Brother Hester. It sounds like heaven to me, too. Amen. That's good. We appreciate the good message and song. I was joking in the Sunday school and told them we ought to call today Substitute Sunday. Pastor's gone and so many others is going on the soul-winning trip. And if you haven't noticed, we're doing the best we can this morning. Appreciate Brother Morgan leading the singing for us. He said he took notice. The theme this morning, pretty much, with the choir special and all that, the Lord's coming. And then Brother Hester telling us that heaven's the place we'd like to go to. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Numbers. If you get to Deuteronomy, go back to your left, Numbers chapter 19. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Pastor Parsons asked me to preach. I told him I would. And then the more I asked the Lord what he wanted me to preach, the more he told me, the more I didn't want to do it. You've probably never been there, but I've been there a few times. Lord directed me to this passage. I'm going to just hit the high points in it, hopefully. Many of you will recognize it. I preached on this subject 20, 25 years ago. Say, how you know? Because I still got an old Bible that's got a couple of notes in it. It was an exciting time. We all got excited back then because in the news at that time was the ashes of the red heifer. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to read a portion of scripture that probably won't mean a lot to you, but it'd be a good place to dig in and study a little bit. We got excited. The Christian world got excited about 20, 25 years ago because the news came out that an archaeologist in Israel area, around the Dead Sea and up in the caves and so forth, that he had come across some of the important things that had to do with Judaism, with the coming of the Messiah, with the restoration of the temple, and all of that. Turned out it probably did not come true. He thought he'd found a pottery, a pot, if you please, with the remaining ashes of the red heifer, which was a ceremonial service that took place in the temple. And before they could continue services in the new temple, or what we'll call the millennial temple or the third temple, before that could be continued, you have to have the ashes of the red heifer to continue the next service, the next sacrifice, the next offering in the temple. And so it sounded really like the Lord was telling us if the temple was about to get started, that he was about to come. And we Christians that are looking for the rapture, we ought to be looking for it very quickly. Now, it turned out they thought they had a red heifer. They'd found one. But that red heifer had to be without spot, without blemish. Look, they had been looking for it for almost 2,000 years. They'd had many times they thought they might have one, but then they'd find a blemish. A red cow could not have a white hair on it, could not have a black hair on it. It could have no blemish at all to be the right sacrifice to be offered. And I'll read the passage in a moment. And they thought they'd found one at different times. But every time that they pinned one up, that's a country boy slogan for you, but as they kept one and watched it, sooner or later a blemish of some kind, white hair, black hair, would show up. So all these years since I tried to preach on it about 20, 25 years ago, they have still been looking for the red heifer. They have raised some out in Texas and finally transported some, five of them to be exact, over to Israel. And they've been watching those five. They have found, as it were, two of them already has been disqualified. But now they're watching the final three, and they're getting a little excited because it looks like one of the three at least is going to qualify to be the next red heifer, which would start the offerings and start up the temple and would tell you and I as Christian believers that we are in the last days and we're in the last of God's prophecies. Folks, I'm going to talk to you about it. Time's not going to allow me to get into it very deep, But look with me in Numbers chapter 19. We'll try to read the first 10 verses in Numbers chapter 19. For the tape room, if I was going to title this message, I'd say, is the day of purification getting nearer? You'll find that word in the text, last verse, I believe. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, and he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, her flesh, her blood, with the dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean unto the even. That's ceremonially unclean. Verse 8, and he that burneth her, and wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, he shall be unclean unto the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. Remember that word. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even, and it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the strangers that sojourn among them for a statute forever. Now, I want to say this morning, what I'm preaching on, as we heard the choir singing, as we heard the song service, I've believed, I've preached for the years and years, and sometimes we even joke about it a little bit. Somebody told me this morning, you're going to preach on the second coming again. I said, perhaps. They said, well, he didn't come the last several times you preached on it. But I'm not through. And he is coming. Amen. They couldn't find a red heifer through all these years. Now they're getting excited again. They've gotten so excited that they built an altar. Now the temple has not been built yet, but they claim they've got it prefabbed and all that and waiting for the timing. It'll go up fast. But they did build an altar. They put that altar picture in the paper. It was on the news. It was on TV here several months ago. In fact, I guess a couple of years almost now, over a year anyway. Well, it was put in the paper. Now, it's talking about a time that the worship services, the sacrifices and so forth would be started in the temple. Let me say this about the temple. We know that there is no temple over there now. It has been destroyed since AD 70. We understand that. We understand that when you read the Bible, it started out as a tabernacle. And from the tabernacle, you remember how David had to die. He was a man of war, but his son Solomon was allowed to build what's called Solomon's Temple. And so later on, it was destroyed in about 586 B.C., I guess it was, by the Babylonians. And then there was a temple built and was there in the days of Jesus. It was often called Herod's Temple because the Roman leader Herod had it built in his name. But you remember Jesus taught in that temple. He sat in the treasury seat of the temple. He ministered around the temple. And yet when he was crucified, temple worship was supposed to stop. God said, that's the final lamb that I've offered. He's my lamb. That's what all the lambs of the Old Testament pointed to, was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But you know what? The Jews didn't want to stop. They didn't believe Jesus was the Lamb. I tell you what I'm going to have to do, folks. I can't read all the scripture. I'm just going to carry you as far as the clock will let me this morning on this. They wanted to keep worshiping the Lamb. They still wanted to offer a Lamb. But the Lamb was a picture of Jesus all the way. It was a picture. You see, all the way through the Old Testament, all the worship that the Jews, every time they offered a lamb, from the Passover lamb in Egypt on, they were picturing the Lamb of God that would come. So all the ceremonies, the religious ceremonies and all that that took place in the temple, all of that was painting a picture of God's plan. It was a plan of redemption. That plan of redemption had been predicted and prophesied from the fall in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. That seed of the woman, the virgin birth, was the Lord Jesus Christ that would come. And he, all the way from that time on through the Old Testament, all the sacrifices, all the offerings, all of that was telling that God was initiating a plan of redemption that one day would cause his son to be offered up on the cross, crucified on the hill called Calvary. Remember, all of this was a picture that God was saying he was going to buy a man back, redeem him back. Most everybody understands that truly, if you believe the Bible at all, if you've heard any preaching, you know that this world is under a curse that started in the garden. When man fell, when Adam fell, when the whole human race went down. And from all that time on, all you read through the Old Testament, if you took a chart and you went through the Old Testament and you put it on a graph, you'd see the Israelites following God and coming up and then falling. Then God would bring them up again, then they'd fall. And that went through all the Old Testament there. And finally came to the day that God's son came, born of a virgin. The announcement was made. He lived among men for 33 years. He was the final Lamb of God. He was offered on the cross of Calvary. And the wonderful truth is that he paid the redemption plan that had been pictured all the way from the Garden of Eden on, that he would come. Now, he was the final lamb. We sang about it. We talk about it. Yet, when the Messiah came, in spite of all the worship, all the temple worship, all the offerings, all that they'd gone through in the laws of Judaism, when he came, they said, away with him. We'll not have this man reign over us. They rejected the Savior. They, as we've been teaching in Sunday school, argued against him in all that they did. But he was the one that all the sacrificial lambs, all the Old Testament sacrifices had pointed to in the time of Judaism. And we read here in the text that there's a day of purification. Purification, the temple worship cannot be started unless they can get the ashes of the red heifer, mix them with water, sprinkle it and sanctify and set apart the temple and get the temple worship going again. This is what Judaism was talked about all the time. And while we all know that all men have come and short of God's glory, that we are all sinners, there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul says in Romans 3, talking about the Jews, he said, what profit, what advantage has the Jews? He says, much, because they were delivered the oracles of God. They were the nation that God chose to redeem the rest of the world through. Now, when we speak about redeeming the world, this is what is spoken here of the word purification here with the ashes of the red heifer that start up the worship again. But you know, the whole world, a lot of different cultures in the world know there's a time coming of redemption, there's a time coming of renovation, there's a time coming of purification. I believe it's the Hopi Indian tribes that say it's very near to the day of purification. I believe that's the very word they use in their religion, that the world has got to be purified. In their teachings, they say the world is very much like the Bible would say, that all is depraved. The whole world is depraved. Man is living under a world that is under a curse. When Adam sinned in the garden and God came and began to talk to him and Eve in the garden, and he told them that the earth itself would be cursed. Anybody ever tried to plant a garden? You have weeds come up, the earth's under a curse. The earth's under a curse. Did it not rain enough? It's under a curse. Did it rain too much? It's under a curse. That's the world that we live in. But all through the Old Testament, all through God's writings, there's a promise of a time that the earth's going to be purified. The earth is going to be restored. It's going to be brought back. And that is found in some of the cultures, Chinese, I believe, and others. I can't get off into that, but they're being redeemed from the curse. Jesus used another word for the purification. If I look over in Matthew chapter 19, I believe it is, I believe we'll find that the rich young ruler had come to Jesus and found out that he'd have to give up his riches. And by the way, you can be rich and be saved, but there was a choice here the young ruler made that was wrong. And we find that Peter and the disciples were there, and they observed this thing, because the young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. So in Matthew chapter 9, I pick it up in about verse 27. Peter had seen this now. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we do therefore? Boy, that's like all of us. What's in it for me? What shall we do therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the, here's the word, regeneration. Purification, regeneration, restoration, all of those words tells us that the world one day is going to be redeemed from the curse. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 11, how it'll be then. Not that way now. Now the lion will eat the lamb. Then the lamb and the lion's going to lay down together, Isaiah 11. We're going to find that the young child can pet the serpent on the head without any danger. We find out that the curse will be lifted. In other words, the rose bush today has thorns on it because it has a curse on it. In that day, there'll be no thorns on the rose bush. When the world is restored, when it's purified, when the restoration of the world comes. And Jesus said here, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. Now, I want you to know something. That's not the throne he's on now. He's at the Father's right hand. He's at the Father's throne now. He's coming back to sit on his throne. His throne will be on earth. It'll be in Jerusalem. It'll be referred to as David's throne. And all the nations will finally complete God's plan to come and also worship. The nations will find out who the Lord God is, who the King of glory is. He'll sit on his throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he was telling all those disciples, yeah, you may have given up something, but the time's coming. You may suffer a little bit now, but the time's coming. You're going to reign. The Bible says, Paul said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It'll be a great time when the earth is restored, when the curse has been lifted and redeemed from the curse. You know, this is pictured. It's foretold in the tabernacle, Solomon's temple. And when the Messiah came, we call that religiously speaking, or if you were in college, you'd understand some of these words, but the first advent was when Jesus came. Do you know that there's more prophecy, more prediction, more words, more verses predicting the second advent of Christ than there was the first? Second advent of Christ is not the rapture. Rapture will come before it. But when the second advent comes, Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and reign on his throne. The curse is going to be lifted, and he is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And there'll be a temple rebuilt. We call it the third temple or the millennial temple. 39 verses in the book of Ezekiel will tell you about how that temple is going to be built, how it's coming. Now, that was all pictured in the Old Testament in the tabernacle until the Messiah came and was rejected. You know, God stopped the lamb offering after Christ was crucified. Now, you've probably heard me say this before. The four-legged lamb was down in the temple area, temple courtyard. The priest was coming in. It was Passover week. Priests were coming in, an entourage of priests were coming in, and they had already had the lamb, the one they had found they thought was without spot, without blemish. He'd been tethered or tied up, and all the Pharisees, religious crowd, common people could even come and look and see if they could find a blemish on that lamb. finally it'd be pronounced that this will be the sacrificial lamb. And the priest down in the temple courtyard would take the lamb and put him on the altar and take the knife, and there was a ceremonial cut. We'd call it cutting the throat. It'd bleed the lamb to death, of course. When the priest would raise the knife to do this, he'd cry out a word in Hebrew, Tereshtatai, which he would say in Hebrew, God's lamb at the same time, exact time, was hanging on the cross of Calvary. And he would cry out, it is finished. The word Tereshtatai means it is finished. As the priest was sacrificing the lamb in the courtyard, Jesus was saying, it is finished. I finished the final offering. I'm the final lamb. Now, in the courtyard, they had done this for year after year, season after season. They would take that lamb. They'd take two lambs. They'd take the one and offer him. They'd take the other one, or of the scapegoat, and he would start being led by a man out of the temple. He'd have a cord, a colored cord around his neck. That cord would be a white cord. And I've got it wrong. It'd be a red cord. It'd be a crimson cord around his neck. And as he was being led away, he'd have to go actually a couple of miles out and finally be thrown over a cliff. He'd move from station to station, from one man take him so far, another man take him so far. And as he left, people were watching along the line. And every year, God would change the color of the white cord around the neck of the lamb. He'd change it from the white, the red to the white, whichever one I got it, one there. He'd change the color. And the people would cry out when it would change. They would holler, and the message would come back. God has accepted our offering. Another year, God has accepted our offering. But that year it didn't change, because the lamb had died on the cross, not on the altar. God was saying, my final lamb has been offered. You know, today the Jewish folks, God bless them, there's a lot of them still in darkness. A lot of them have trusted Christ, but still in darkness as to who the Messiah is. You may be here and you may have gone to a Passover or Seder, a Passover supper. I have at least once. And they can't offer a lamb because they have no lamb, because the temple was destroyed 30 years later, AD 70, and the only place it could be offered was in the temple. So you go into the Jewish home now to have Passover supper with them, there won't be any lamb on the table. There'll be a bone. There'll be a shank bone representing the lamb. But they, if you're witnessing to a Jewish person, ask them where the sacrifice is. They don't have one. God took it away. They want to see it started. They think they're going to get it started again. They think if they can find that red heifer and offer that red heifer and get those ashes and start it over again, that God's going to reinstitute it. But what's going to happen, you read the book of Zechariah. In fact, I'll show it to you. Turn over to the book of Zechariah with me, chapter 6. I know somebody's going to have a little trouble finding that quickly. Get to the blank place between your testaments and go back to your left. That's the quickest way to find Zechariah. And go to Malachi, and then get on back to Zechariah, and get on back to chapter 6. Here's what's going to happen. Jesus, we know him as Jesus. Here's the description of what he's going to do. In chapter 6 of Zechariah, says, and speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man. Behold the man. Heard that before, haven't you? Behold the man whose name is the branch. Big capital letters in your King James. B-R-A-N-C-H. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build. Watch it now. He shall build the temple of the Lord. He's coming back. Who's going to build the temple? The one God's going to accept is going to be Jesus. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. The man coming back named the branch has got to come back before that temple they want to see built and approved of God. He's going to be in person when he comes back. He's going to sit upon his throne. He'll come. We call that the second advent. he'll come back. The lamb offering was stopped. It's been stopped for 2,000 years. They have the shank bone to celebrate with, but that was not ordained of God. That's a substitute that came because the final lamb was offered on the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of the world. Yet the new temple, we'll call it the third temple, the millennial temple, is predicted to be built. Current times, folks, the turmoil we have, you say things are going better. Yeah, I think they may be going better. I rejoice about all the corruption being discovered and cleaned up in Washington, but they got a bigger pile I think they're going to deal with. And I rejoice that things might be a little better, but the world's in turmoil right now. You say, well, President Trump is going to usher in peace. No, he's doing all he can, but he's got a lot of opposition. And the truth is, this world will never have peace until Jesus, the peacemaker, himself comes back. But let me tell you what was behind the attack on October the 7th when the terrorists broke out of the Gaza and attacked Israel, and some of the hostages are being brought back. Most of them are dead. You've seen all this on the news. It's a bad thing. Do you know why that happened? That happened because of the text I read to you, because of the red heifer being sought after, because Islam fears that the Jewish Messiah is about to come back and do what the Bible says, build the temple. You see, they want their Messiah to come back, their false Messiah to come back. So when they got in the news that the red heifers had been possibly found and was waiting to finally get the right one that with no blemish, no spot, and it would be burned and the ashes would start all the ceremonies of the temple again and the temple would be rebuilt. When that word got out, that was the panic button. That was the fear that Islam had that this was about to happen. They had to strike then to stop it. It's amazing how human, weak men think they're going to stop God. But they did. They tried. And all that tragedy that took place right there. On October the 7th there, they come out and attack because they were feared the ashes of the red heifer were about to be restored. And it was going to be necessary for the rebuilding of the temple. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean to us? It means a lot. It means a lot. What does that mean to us? You know, 25 years ago, I was preaching on this. They thought they had the red heifer. And God stopped it. He stopped it because he let them find a blemish. It might have been a white hair, black hair on the cow, whatever. They stopped. God stopped it. Just like he stopped the offering of the lamb after Christ was crucified. He stopped it. Now, my question is about to start again. Could it be? They think out of the three, maybe one of them will be without spot, without blemish. They've already built the altar. They're so sure that they just believe they've got it this time. Now, I kind of believe they have, but we don't know. God could stop it again, or if this time could be it. If it is, then events of the end time are going to come very fast, one right behind the other. And I personally, of course, hope it to be so. The coming Messiah was the Jewish Messiah. He was the lamb rejected. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was the one that would pay off the price of our sins, but he'd pay off the curse on planet earth and have it restored and purified and brought back as God's original plan was. You know, I know we're in the modern age now. I've been studying a little bit about some of the modern stuff they've got, talking about, you hear some of it in the news about weapons. Do you understand now that the weapons and the technology is so powerful now that basically you're talking about an Iron Dome, you're talking about a shield, you're talking about Star Wars and all that. Do you understand that all the satellites up there from China and from us and from others, that they're going to be shooting down on us now, bombing down on us. We're in a time now, and President Trump's even mentioned it. He said, you don't even want to talk about it, what modern weapons now can do to the world. I'm saying to you, if you don't have an answer to some bad times yet to come, I have an answer. It's called Jesus. It's called his plan. He's already wrote it in the book. He's got it where I can study it. I don't have to have it come upon me unawares. I used to joke a little bit about folks with their bomb shelters in all the backyards. I said, I don't need a hole in the ground. I got a hole in the air. And I'm going up one of these days to meet my Lord in the air, the scripture says. Now the temple will be rebuilt. What does that mean to us? It means that God could stop it again, but if he don't, as a Christian, the second advent is very close. Now, the second advent, Christ returns with the armies of heaven. His feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. He destroys the enemy in the Valley of Megiddo. He sets up his throne, his kingdom. The curse will be lifted. The lion and the lamb will lay down together. All of this that is predicted, the purification of the earth, the restoration, the regeneration, Jesus called it. All of that will take place under the Lord at the second advent. But before the second advent, the Bible teaches that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the saved are going to be caught out. The Lord is coming for his bride, for his church. Israel then, the clock will start ticking with them again. There'll be a brief period, what we call the tribulation period. Jeremiah 30 says the day of Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist will try to take that seat on that temple. He'll try to sit there. He'll show himself that he's God, but he is not God, and he will be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back at the Battle of Megiddo. The Armageddon is often referred to. You know what that means to you today? If you're saved, it means just serve the Lord and don't get weary. Serve the Lord, increase your faith. Listen, the victory is not far away if you're saved. If you're not saved, it's a sad time for you. The opportunity to be saved will be over. The door will be closed. When Noah got in the ark, it was God that closed the door. I don't care what the songs say, it was God that closed the door. And there was no more opportunity for anybody else to get on the ark. And when the gospel door is shut, when Jesus returns, when the Christians are called out, if you've heard the gospel like you will at this building and other good churches, you'll hear the gospel and you said no to it, you're closing your own door. There is no second chance. There is not going to be another opportunity. Jesus is coming. And you say, how quick could he come? He could come any moment. We don't have to wait on the red heifer's ashes, but they have to wait on them until they get the temple restored, get the offering set up, get the new temple. But we know if the temple is that close to being built, if it's that close for the Savior to return, how much closer is the secret rapture of the church of the saved? Are you in that crowd? Are you saved? Have you been born again? The opportunity will soon be gone. You know, we're in a day right now where you turn on your news and sudden things happen, don't they? You can't hardly keep up with it. I mean, things are happening so fast. I want to tell you, when the rapture takes place, it's sudden. There's a, used to be, may not be true now, used to be, I guess it was the New York Times, one of the biggest newspapers, whichever one it was in the early years. They had big print. If a war started, the headline would be the big print. If some disaster, there'd be big print. And when they dropped the atom bomb, World War II is big print headlines. Somebody said, is that the biggest print? And it came out, no, we're saving the biggest print to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a day in America when that was commonly known. People looked at it. Now we've got ourselves educated out of our faith to a great degree. We've been brainwashed out of it, deceived out of it. But the Lord's plan is in the book. It's in detail. Even a passage way back here in the Old Testament we just read. So I don't mean much to me. If you wanted to study several weeks on it and get into the depth of it, you'd see God's still in charge and his plan is going to be fulfilled. The good news is right now you can get in on his plan. You can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You may not understand all. You don't have to understand it all. but you have to be ready. The Bible says Jesus will come in such an hour as you think not. As you think not. I said I'd preached on that 20, 25 years ago, and some of you young people say, oh, that was a long time not to be. And not to these older folks out here. It was just last week. And it'll be that way with you one day. Time is moving. It's moving. Such hours you think not. I say to you today, you've been to this church or other good ones, you've had a friend, a loved one, a soul winner tell you how to be saved, tell you you need to receive Christ. He died for your sins. It don't count until you trust him, receive him, believe on him. If you've been hearing that all your life and you still haven't done it, dear friend, you are flirting with the door being closed and the opportunity being gone forever. I took a Sunday morning to preach a little bit. It took take a week to get into correctly. But I wanted to just say, if God stopped it 25 years ago and now it's coming around again, this may be the last time. If the temple is going to be, and it will be rebuilt because Jesus is coming back to it, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And yet we believe he's coming. The Bible teaches he's coming for those that are saved first. How much closer, if the temple's about to be rebuilt, how much closer are we to the secret coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for those that are saved? Would it be for you, or would you be left? Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly at our feet. Father, I come to you in prayer. Lord, I really didn't want to open this up because I knew I couldn't cover it in the time. But Father, if one thing, if they would just get the application of this truth, that is something that is predicted so clear that's going to happen, is so close. How much closer is that that precedes it, the rapture, the catching out of the saved? I pray, Father, in this group today and out in radio land for everybody that listened. They say, well, that preacher's talking about the second coming again. Oh, yes, I am. I'm talking about how we ought to be forewarned as we see these things happen. In a world where turmoil and sorrow and corruption like you can't believe. But, Father, you're coming back. You're coming back, Father, to redeem it. You're coming back to purify it. You're coming back to regenerate it. You're coming back to have the curse lifted. You're coming back in victory. I pray, Father, as we give an invitation in your house this morning and upon the authority of your word, that somebody here would say, preacher, I want to confess Christ. I want to openly receive Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ who died for my sins. I pray as we sing and give an invitation and ask folks to come receive Christ, that not one would take a chance on leaving this building today without receiving him. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step down to the front and we're going to ask Brother Morton to come and lead us an invitation song. This is your chance. Come take my hand or one of these men at the front and say, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I do know I need him. I'm not going to wait any longer. I pray you'll come as we sing.